You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards Tiekert. And once the fires in California are out, a lot of the work will just be beginning. The Camp Fire in Butte County has already destroyed more homes than the Tubbs Fire that tore through Santa Rosa last fall. The cleanup from that series of fires in the North Bay, already the most expensive in California history. I thought this would be a good time to take stock of what recovery has actually looked like there, how it's impacted people, and how they're doing 1 year later. We're joined over Skype by Martin Espinosa. He's a reporter at the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So why don't you put us in the shoes of someone who was, say, living in Coffee Park and saw their home burn down in the Tubbs Fire. Once the fire was out and the immediate emergency response was sorted, what did they have to deal with next?
All those people, I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of people needing a place to live. Early on, I think most people stayed. You're starting to see some people leave now because the rebuild simply doesn't pencil out for them. The cost of living here has increased. Rents have pretty much skyrocketed. It's been very, very difficult. We're just now getting to seeing a lot of these homes actually being rebuilt. There were about three different areas here in Sonoma County, well, four. There was a Coffee Park, of course. Fountain Grove was a little more upscale area. And then northeast Santa Rosa, an area we call Mark West. And that includes homes northeast of Santa Rosa that were up in the foothills, in more wooded areas. And then there's also Sonoma Valley. Just to give you a sense of the destruction, in Coffee Park, there were 1,400 homes that were burned. In Fountain Grove, there was 1,500, almost 1,600 homes. Larkfield, Mark West, 1,700 homes. And in Sonoma Valley, 518 homes, for a total of, you add that up, something like 5,334 homes in just the county alone. And the rebuild is very slow. In Coffee Park, you have about a third of the homes that are currently under construction. A third of the homes that were lost are currently under construction. In Fountain Grove is a much more difficult situation there. Economically, the in Fountain Grove is a lot more expensive than it is to rebuild in Coffee Park. Those homes, when they were built, were not the million-dollar homes that they were right when the fire hit. Only about a tenth of those homes have been rebuilt. Are under construction. In Larkfield, Mark West, about a fifth of those homes are under construction. How many homes have been rebuilt 13 months after the fire? 20 in Coffee Park. And I had some numbers here. I think 17 in Larkfield, and no homes in Fountain Grove to date have been completed.
Why does it take so long?
Why does it take so long? Because there's so many homes. We had only a certain number of homes that were being built here in Sonoma County before the fire. The task of having to rebuild so many thousands of homes is just, we just didn't have the resources, the construction infrastructure to do that, and also some of these homes were underinsured. Some people were not insured. The payouts that they received were not enough to rebuild. So people are in on the permit process too, though the city and the county have done a lot to try to speed those processes up. It's just been really hard when you have so many permits being put in. It was unprecedented. When the fire hit, I was out there that night doing Facebook Live video of the fires. I went out to my first spot was the evacuation of the Kaiser Hospital here in Santa Rosa. Then I went to Coffee Park, saw homes burned there. Then I went to Fountain Grove and saw homes burned there. It was nothing. It was like nothing that I'd ever seen. I was stupid enough to think in the days and weeks that followed that I had seen the worst I would ever see of this kind of thing. And I honestly believe that this was in my lifetime the worst that I would experience as a journalist. Then came the car fire, the Mendocino Complex fire early in the fire season, and now last week the campfire. And it's beyond comprehension. It's the worst that I've seen, but I feel like other people are going to experience the worst as well.
So you're describing a situation where thousands of people lost their homes, but only dozens of homes have been rebuilt more than a year later. Where did people go? Where have they been living?
A lot of people have been living in Santa Rosa, in Sonoma County. They've moved in with family. They've rented granny units. They've moved in. Some moved in friends. The homeless population has slightly increased. We are having issues there. But some people have left. I've talked to quite a few families that have decided to they can't go through this process. A lot of older retirees have sold their lots and have decided to move to places like Oregon, Washington. I've talked to people that have gone to Idaho, and they've taken the money that from their lots and their insurance money, and they bought larger and homes elsewhere. It's just the cost of living here has increased. The cost of housing has gone up, and to go through this process, it's not easy. I talked to one family this week. They lived in Fountain Grove, and they started going through the process of rebuilding. And early on, they thought maybe they didn't have it in them to do it, and they were actually considering leaving. But they have children that had come here to live near them after they started having kids, and so they decided to stay for their grandkids. But they only decided to do that because this one family's son-in-law said that who lost his house as well up in Fountain Grove said that he would take over the rebuild process for them. So it's just really difficult. A lot of some people don't have it in them to go through that, and they're deciding that it's just easier to leave. I think come next October, when insurance companies stop paying people's rent, you're going to see a lot of real tough decisions being made.
Why do insurance companies stop next October? They're only on the hook for 12 months?
They're on the hook for 24. Yeah, your home burns down, and the insurance company will pay your rent for 2 years. But then after that, a lot of families here are going to find themselves having to both pay rent and pay their mortgage for the home that's burned down. And if that house is not completed, it's going to be really difficult going forward.
Speaking of Martin Espinosa, he's a reporter for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat who's been covering the human toll in the aftermath of the fire that tore through there last fall, the Tubbs Fire, and the other fires in the North Bay during that season. I want to talk a little bit about what the actual cleanup looks like after the fire. It may not occur to a lot of our listeners, but all of that ash after households and the things they contain burn is toxic, and the sites have to be scraped clean before any rebuilding can take place.
They have to be cleared by the EPA, yeah. And that was a huge, huge undertaking. I don't know how many tons of debris had to be removed from these areas. Filled landfills. We had for many months there, we had just caravans of dump trucks on our roads going back and forth from the dump sites to these areas. It was there was one case where a dump truck coming down from Fountain Grove somehow lost control or lost its brakes or something, slammed into several cars. I mean, I think it was like 6 or 7 cars, caused a huge fire over there by Kaiser, right next to high-end mobile home park, which I think about 80% of it burned. And so we don't see as many dump trucks now. There's a lot more just the construction workers out at the site, out at the burn sites. But it's hard to describe that much activity of debris that was removed from these homes. And I think going through this, we were, I don't know if you use the word ignorant, but we weren't really aware of all the ash and all the smoke in the air that we were going through. There's a lot more concern now about that. But at the time, we were just kind of, it was somewhat new. I mean, we had covered the Valley Fire, though, covered it from afar. We went there when it happened, but there are a lot more concerns now that we're living in the age of fire, as I like to say. Concerns about what's in the air, concerns about what's in the ground, what happens when the rains come and wash away a lot of that ash that's up there in Fountain Grove and in other areas. Where's it going? So these are things that have become almost commonplace now, living in the age of fire.
What about the psychological toll on the people who were burned out of their homes? Like, what kind of support have they been able to get in the intervening months?
There have been a lot of organizations that have come forward. A lot of therapists have sort of banded together, formed groups, offered free therapy sessions. There have been more innovative approaches to dealing with some of the psychological and emotional issues that are popping up now. There's, for example, there's trauma-informed yoga. There are therapies where groups of people will go out into some of these burned areas and just be there to see how that this is kind of a natural thing that happens, and just to see how those areas are coming back, because some of these areas are coming back, some of the burned wooded areas. So there's a lot of anxiety in this community. We saw that before this past fire season started. If you look at sort of the trajectory of psychological and emotional impact of a natural disaster, there's a period at the beginning, like in the first few weeks, where a community comes together, and there's a lot of talk of resilience and I wouldn't say resistance, but just talk of overcoming the tragedy. And then that sort of begins to taper off, and around 6 months you start to enter this period of disillusionment, and that happened right around the 6 month anniversary. What happened here in Sonoma County is right around the beginning of the fire season in June or May, we hit a trough where we bottomed out in terms of disillusionment. It was a real difficult time, and people were being triggered by the fires, like the Carr Fire and the Mendocino Complex Fire. It was a low point. And I think now, I think we're still in that trough. Supposedly, at the anniversary, you begin to come together again. But because of some of the fires that we've had recently, especially the Camp Fire, it's just really rough right now for a lot of people, being triggered by smoke, being triggered by the news of fire. Kids are having a really difficult time. My own son is talking about apocalypses, and he jokes about living with constant fire around him. And it's I think something that a lot of communities are going to have to deal with. And I don't think they've begun to actually take a look at the impact of this on children.
A few minutes ago, when you were describing some of the material challenges facing people displaced by the fire, You were speaking in terms of the limited supports homeowners had. What happens when their insurance company's rental payments run out, the challenges of rebuilding if the amount they were insured for was not up to the escalating construction costs in your area. But what about the renters that were displaced by the fires? What's come of them?
Well, the market rates went up, and it's probably one of the biggest complaints here is people not being able to afford rents anymore. I've talked to people who didn't lose anything in the fire but were displaced by their landlords, and
meaning they were displaced by rent hikes.
They were displaced by rent hikes, and you know there's a lot of guilt among those who didn't lose a. There is some guilt among those who didn't lose a home and are competing against those who lost a home and are looking for a place to rent. Rents were already bad and now they're a lot worse. It's a really difficult place to live right now. It's just a crisis. It really is.
So there were supposed to be rent gouging restrictions that were triggered by the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Were those enforced? Did they have an effect?
Well, they had an effect. There were some people that were, you'd get a press release every now and then from the local district attorney saying that they were going after somebody for price gouging, but people were charging rents just because they could, higher rents because they could, because the market rate went up. There are laws to prevent that, but that doesn't stop somebody from charging market rate. The market rates.
If you could convey one insight from your year of covering the aftermath of the fire that tore through Santa Rosa to the people who are only now just starting to think about recovery from the campfire, what would that insight be?
Well, that it's going to be a long process of recovery. But what happened here in Santa Rosa, I think, is very different from what happened in Paradise. Paradise is for the most part, quite a bit of it is gone. And Santa Rosa is still here. There are, even if people leave Santa Rosa because they can't afford to rebuild, there's still going to be a lot of people left here. It's going to have an economic impact on the community, but this didn't wipe Santa Rosa off the map. I don't know how Paradise is. I don't know what that recovery is going to look like. It's a long process here in Santa Rosa. It's going to continue to be a long process. There's going to be, if we start to see a lot more people leaving next year, that's going to have a big impact. I don't know what the recovery would even begin to look like in Paradise with so much of it gone. There is one thing, I don't know if we could talk a little bit about how the recovery process is playing out in socioeconomically here.
Sure.
There have been a lot of studies done that have shown that the amount of money, the FEMA money that goes into a community post natural disaster is has sort of a discriminatory effect on communities. Well, this is something we haven't begun to look at here, but wherever there's a natural disaster, natural disasters do not discriminate like the fire. I mean, that hit both the well-off and the poor, the renters and the homeowners. But what is discriminatory is a lot of the money that comes in for the rebuild and for reconstruction. Researchers have documented that in some areas, families that already had money end up getting more money, and families that had less end up actually poorer than they were before. And I think that will probably play out here unless efforts are unless those issues are addressed, those dynamics. It has to do with policies and where the money goes, and families that are well off or more, you know, have their wealth documented more, have are able to adhere to the procedures for recovery funds. And so that's a real big concern, is this fire and fires like these could end up creating a bigger divide in communities where, you know, we've already seen widening income gaps, and those could even actually get worse because of the fire.
Well, Martin Espinoza, I really want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Martin Espinoza is a reporter with the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. He and many of his colleagues at that newspaper have spent the bulk of the last year documenting the cleanup, the recovery, and the human toll of the fires that tore through their region almost 1 year ago.